हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनाभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
Okay, so then our point was is that Sambandabhide and Prayojan is received from the spiritual master. Then a doubt comes up that different spiritual masters, they give different ideas of what the Sambandabhide and Prayojan is. Like that. So it appears that the, how do you say? So they get different ideas of what is Sambandabhide Prayojana. And they're also initiated, you know, in their lines and everything. Comes, like some things come with their own battery, comes with its own banana. Yeah, I guess monkeys and bananas. So then it appears that this Vastutraya is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Initiation is not enough, right? Like that. So reply to the objection. As the Vedas are very vast, covering a wide range of topics, persons following Vedic teachings may easily become confused about the Vedas' essential and ultimate teachings. Thus, some people think enjoyment is the prayojana, others think liberation is the prayojana, while others think that attainment of mystic powers or siddhis is the prayojana. The six systems of Vedic philosophy as they are known today are different misunderstandings of Sambandabhide and prayojana. Their original and pure form can be found in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The only exception, means of those who are having misunderstandings, is Srila Vyasadeva, who gives the pure understanding in the Vedanta Sutra. It is because he has received his knowledge from a bona fide spiritual master in a disciplic succession. Later on, even his words were misinterpreted by Shankaracharya as Mayavad because Shankara didn't receive his knowledge from a spiritual master, coming down from Srila Vyasadeva. It is therefore essential to receive knowledge of Sambandabhide and Prayojana from a spiritual master in one of the four Vaishnava Sampradayas, who actually knows the conclusions of the Vedic teachings. Even so, even in different Vaishnava Sampradayas, there are different prayojanas. Or desired relationships with Krishna. And thus the sadhana in each Sampradaya varies. In the Sri Sampradaya, the prayojana is Surupi Mukti, and so the sadhana is to serve Lord Narayana in awe and veneration. In the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya, the prayojana is to serve Bala Gopal in parental rasa, and so the sadhana is centered around the worship of Bala Gopal. In the Sampradaya of Srila Rupa Goswami, the foremost disciple of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the prayojana is pure unalloyed service to Krishna, and so the sadhana is to serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by serving a Sankirtan mission and hearing and chanting the glories of Sri Sri Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan as Lord Chaitanya did. The position of the spiritual master is that he instructs his disciples first in Sambandha Gyan to remind him of his relationship with Krishna, and then in Abhideya and Prayojana Tattvas to properly establish him in the process of devotional service and fix him on the goal of love of God. Thus the two roles of the spiritual master are as Diksha and Siksha Guru. The Diksha Guru reestablishes the disciple in his relationship with Krishna by imparting Sambandha Gyan. This entails giving the disciple spiritual initiation, which has five aspects called Pancha Samskar. Okay, this Pancha Samskar is in Baladeva Vidyabhushan's Prameya Ratnavali 8.5 and 8.6. So first is establishing Sambandha Gyan so you know who you are. Right? This is why we say this is the process. First you know who you are, then you can know everybody else. Right? You know who you are, who God is, what the material nature is. That then you'll know what your process and goal is. Right? Because if you don't know who you are, you don't know what goals you can achieve. Right? Then from that you need to know the process to achieve them. So that's the first thing we deal with. But all three are done, but Sambandha Gyan is the first body of knowledge. Right? That's what has to be given first. So then, with that, then you can understand everything. So even in dealing in other subjects, you deal with the social system, Varnashram, you have to first know who you are, right? Then, you know, what is your relationship with Godhead, and then who everybody else is, and your relationships with them, and how that is to connect to Godhead, right? Does that make sense? So you're always still going to end up with these three. But what means, when you Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana here, I mean the Sambandha Gyan, you're dealing with Chit Achit Ishwara, so we understand the Achit, the material world, how it functions. So the nature of the soul, then the nature of the material world is different from that. Right? So we're looking at the philosophical. When you go to apply it, then that Achit then will become the elements of the Vedic literatures that are not the Vedanta, right? So you're learning Ayurveda. So then that is about how this material world functions in relationship to the health of the body and mind, right? So that's the Achit. So still you have to know to follow Ayurveda nicely who you are as Chit, you know, who Ishwara is, what your relationship is, and why this Achit is important. And then, what is your relationship with that Achit in relationship to the Supreme Lord, right? And what is the Lord's relationship with this Achit? Right? Then you actually understand the Ayurveda. Does that make sense? Otherwise, you don't. It's not just medicine. That's for the ignorant. The Ayurveda should be a method of elevating you, like everything else, but it's dealing with the conditioned nature. That's its focus. But its purpose is the same as the paravidya, or the transcendental knowledge. All the aparavidya is for the same purpose, just it's addressing the conditioned need of the living entity. Right? So they can elevate themselves. Does that make sense? So it's the same thing. You have Sanskrit, so therefore there's still you, there's still God, and then there's the Sanskrit. Right? You're still going to end up with these three. So now, since you're a devotee of God, your business is therefore, then the Sanskrit is going to be some connection with understanding God. Therefore, you can understand the Shastra. Right? Communication is there. So how are you going to communicate? You're going to communicate in such a way that the conditioned nature is taken care of, is engaged properly in the Lord's service. Right? And you're going to also use it directly to communicate with the Lord to show your surrender and your affection. Is that going to make sense? So in any case, you're always going to have these three. Right? Then your process is then using the grammar in such a way to, you know, praise Krishna and to interact with the devotees so that one can communicate properly in Krishna consciousness. Right? Does that make sense? So it's going to be like that with everything. So that's what the evening course is for. Right. Once establishing very nicely this philosophy, you know, the essential points, then you'll understand it in relationship to all the aspects of the Vedic literature. So in other words, you'll very nicely see, you know, how the Achit works in connection with Krishna. Right. Okay, then it says here, spiritual master, Diksha and Siksha, but so the essence of Diksha is the instruction. Yeah? That doesn't mean that there's not a Diksha process. it means that the life of it, what makes diksha work, is the siksha. Right? So in other words, giving initiation so that you can properly give instruction and it will be received well, and you can confidently give it without worrying, that's called diksha. Technically, if you have to worry that if you give instruction, the disciple will not be able to accept it or use it, then you don't give diksha. Right? If you can't accept that this direction being given is therefore... Oh, no, I got it. This direction therefore is coming from the spiritual master, you can't accept that, that's not your spiritual master. Understand? Because the point is, soul is pure. So that's not the problem. The instructions are good. So now you're dealing with the conditioned nature of the living entity. Right? What conditioned nature goes is compatible with what kind of instruction the spiritual master is giving. Does that make sense? So then that's how you make that connection, that bond. Then it works very well. Okay, does that make sense? So now he gives here these five aspects of the Panchasamskara. Okay? Tapapundram tata nama mantra yagas cha panchama amihi panchasamskara paramai kanti hetava. Okay, so that's the reference. So these are the five aspects of initiation, Panchasamskara. One, tapa, represented by neck beads, which symbolize rejecting the material world and unfavorable activities related to it, such as meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, and illicit sex, and accepting favorable activities such as cleanliness, rising early, etc. Strange. Bhaktivinoda Thakur used meat-eating, gambling, intoxication, illicit sex. So now we've pushed the threshold back that it's not Prabhupada who made this up just to harass the Westerners. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also expected it. Now here we see even Bhaktivinoda Thakur is, you know, how you say, throwing his lot in with this Vedic concept. Huh, okay. Is that clear? There were any doubts where it comes from? So. Two, okay, so in other words, tapa means, you understand, tapa means fire, burning. So you understand the material world is a place of misery. It's a place of, you know, whereas, how you say, because of the nature of burning in the material desire and being unfulfilled in that, then there's always that anxiety, so that's tapa. So you understand that. So because of that, you give up what's unfavorable, right? Give up the concept of the material world and then those within it that one's, you know, attracted to or attached to. And taking up, then balancing that with those things that are favorable. Right? So in other words, you know, with the unfavorable being replaced with something favorable. You give up meat eating, you replace it with nice prasad. Right? Does that make sense? So everything is replaced. Right? Illicit sex, proper family life, you know, intoxication, absorbing yourself in, you know, the nice activities of Krishna consciousness, which give an inspiration, which actually give enlightenment. Right? So it's the opposite of ignorance. You know, gambling, now it's, you know exactly what's going on, that you can be secure. Right? You know, have the knowledge, you have the practices. So there is no gamble, there is no insecurity or uncertainty. Right? So it's always replaced with something. You don't replace it, that's a problem. Okay? Now, someone having accepted that, tapa, then is urdhva pundra. Upward pointing tilak, which establishes the goal of loving service to the in the spiritual sky, the upward leading path of devotional service. Right? If you're giving up the material world, you got to accept something. So therefore, you take the upward path to the spiritual world. Therefore, it's urdhva pundra. Right? Tilak is pundra, so it can be any kind, but we use the urdhva pundra. It means it's going up. Right? That signifies you're taking the upward path to Vishnu. Right? To Vishnu's lotus feet. Right, the we see the Mayavadis, the Smartas and all them, they use the Shaiva Pundra, right? So that's across this way, that's the material world, Vorbhuvaswa. So they stay here, they're into being here, you know, like that, get some benefit from here. They don't get out of, they don't take the upward path, like that, yes.
Krishna's pastimes, you see pictures of Krishna's got
He always has Vorbhuvaswa. It's his tilak. That's why we wear it. Yes?
What does the Tulsi signify?
What does the Tulsi signify? I'll give you one guess. Very smart. Very deep intellectual man here. That's a problem? Tulsi can't signify Tulsi. In the kitchen here, I have this potato. What does this potato signify? Right? In other words, the Tulsi means if you're also taking the tilak and also be signifying the Lord's lotus feet, so then Tulsi is always at the Lord's lotus feet. Right? Does that make sense? So that way also it works very nicely like that. Another way of taking it is that in the tilak the Lord resides there. When you chant the mantra then and you clear the space, then the Lord can reside there. You don't clear the space, hard to live there. Right? So then that's like a temple. But it's in a form that's upside down, so the what we call the Tulsi, that's also the Shikara on the temple, right? You have a temple and there's always a dome, like that. So like that, it can be so many explanations. But as Tulsi, it also works very well. Is that okay? Comfortable? No doubts? Doubts are clear. Yes.
Why did he like two eyes instead of four or something?
Why ears? Why not, you know, like horns sticking out? You know? Shrek really likes them, you know, he goes. You know what I'm saying? Why that? Why a nose? Why two nostrils? Why not one? Why not, you know what I'm saying? It's just the way he likes it. There may be some, it means that's enough. Krishna likes it, that's enough. There may be some, because of this, then generally there's some pastimes in the material world where there's an explanation of it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he always has Sudarshan, but then there's a pastime in which he gets Sudarshan. Right? You know, he always has, but then he receives these things. So, in there's an explanation. But, you know, why this is, it's nice, it looks good. You know, it's, you know, nose goes down this way, you have something going that way. You know, the eyes go that way. So it's nice balance. Like that, eyes this way, then the mouth this way. It works. Right, you know, it goes this way, the ears are this way. This seems to be okay. No one's complaining. Okay. Okay, three, Nama. A spiritual name which establishes the disciple's eternal identity as a servant of Krishna, chanting the Lord's holy name a fixed number of times. Right? So this Nama then means that you're identifying yourself as Krishna and you will chant the holy name. So it means both. Right? So this also then gives rise, we can understand here, well, we'll discuss that in a minute. That how the initiation, it's one process, but it has been by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur divided into two. Right? Two parts of the same process. Right? So here we can see is that getting the neck beads, wearing the tilak, and getting a name and taking up chanting the holy name, that is all part of this process. Right? Does that make sense? Okay. Then four, mantra. Chanting of Gayatri Mantra in connection with worshiping the deity. Right? So that's the mantra, not Nam. You know, otherwise you're saying you get the Hare Krishna mantra. No, that's Gayatri mantras. Nama is the holy name. Okay? Then five, Yaga, which is deity worship and other related angas of bhakti. Right? So then one takes up the deity worship and worships with these mantras. So we can see one, two, and three is what we call first initiation. 4 and 5 is their is second initiation. All right? Does that make sense? So we see in there, therefore this pancha samskara is pancharatrik. And we see that the, you know, technically in this, that these other, the upanayanam doesn't include these. Right? Does that make sense? So it's another form. It's the Vedic form. Right? But the pancharatrik form and the Bhagavat form go very well together. Then the Vedic can support that. Right? So it doesn't stand on its own in this age. The pancharatrik also, we see its essential point is, central is the nama, identifying yourself as servant of Krishna and chanting the holy name. Then you can worship the deity. Right? So it's not that the worship stands on its own. Right? Other ages then one.
What's the fifth?
The fifth, yaga, is the actual worship of the deity. Okay. Right, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because you have those, what's preliminary activities. These preliminary activities, Purvascharya Vidhi, then that is activities done before initiation. So one of the things is understanding and studying, so one understands the dasamul. Right? Then one also practices then sadhana, right? Serving prasad, performing yagyas, cleanliness, all these different activities. They prepare one for initiation. Right? Does that make sense? So all that is being done. That's why someone joins, then there's a period of time that they practice Krishna consciousness without initiation. That's called Purushcharya Vidhi. Then first initiation, then second initiation, then the process is complete. Does this make sense? Right? So technically Upanayanam is part of the Purushcharya Vidhi. Like that. So it's a Purushcharya Vidhi for pancharatrik initiation. It's not the initiation itself. It's part of preliminaries to it. Right? But it's being given as a prominent element by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur so that the devotees will be accepted as minimum Brahmins. Better as they accept, everyone accepts them as Vaishnavas. Thus established in his eternal relationship with Krishna, the disciple may practice the process of devotional service, abhideya, as instructed by the guru. In other words, he's received the sambandha jnana, he understands what it is, he's fixed nicely in that. Then he receives initiation, then the abhideya then goes very dynamically. Before that, the processes are being followed, but now it becomes, as we said, sampradayak, so the Lord takes you seriously. Right? You've taken initiation. So therefore, then that's serious, right? Does that make sense? So that's the problem. But Abhideya is going on anyway, but he's giving this in the very, you also, at this time, he was not splitting this, because generally what would happen is very sincere people would come out to find the spiritual master, you know, like that. While with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, kind of that had become a little old-fashioned. People weren't going out seeking out a guru, so the spiritual master had to go, you know, digging around in the, you know, gutters and sewers for disciples, like that. So then, in that way, then it was split to give it more time for purification. Does that make sense? You know what's going on here? As the disciple advances, the Siksha Guru gives instructions on the more subtle aspects of devotional service. And finally, on the platform of Brahmabhuta, either directly or indirectly, reveals the disciple's Srup city in the Prayojana realm. Right, so now we've gone through all the different levels. So now he says the Siksha Guru then gives instructions on the more subtle aspects of devotional service. The Diksha Guru has established one in devotional service. He's given you the Sambandha Jnana, he's given you the process, he sees that it's going on properly. The Siksha Guru is continuing that instruction. Right? Does that make sense? So that means that the Diksha Guru needs to be your Siksha Guru. Right? So that's the idea, is the prominent Siksha Guru is the Diksha Guru. Like that. But in any case, even if it doesn't work like that, But the Diksha Guru is the root. He gives that connection, that worship to the deity, that whole connection to the Sampradaya. But Siksha continues with one spiritual master, with other Siksha Gurus. Does that make sense? Like that. But then there's the etiquette between the spiritual masters. Right? There's the etiquette of the disciple also there. Right? They don't step over the head of the Diksha Guru because they have someone else they want to take Siksha from. Right? It has to be properly worked out. And so then this brings to the subtler aspects of devotional service. In other words, you're getting into the subtle points of devotional service, the moods of devotional service, the metaphysics or mechanics of how things are working, and how to detach oneself from the material world, attach oneself to Krishna. Then we see finally on the platform of Brahma Bhuta. This is very important here. Right? Subtle, and finally on the platform of Brahma Bhuta. What's Brahma Bhuta? What's that platform? Yes.
Brahman realization.
You become to the liberated platform. You're no longer conditioned. You're free from material conditioning. Then he says, then either directly or indirectly reveals the disciple's Sarup City in the Prayojana realm. It says Prayojana realm, right? He gets Sambandha Jnana. He performs devotional service or Abhideya. He says in the Prayojana realm. Is that understood? Subtlety there? No. Sambandha Gyan, it's here right now, here and now, you can understand it. The Abhideya is here and now. The Prayojana realm is another realm. So when you come to the Brahma Bhuta platform, when you are liberated, then at that time the spiritual master, either himself or through others, either directly or in such a way that you understand it, he reveals who you are in the spiritual world. Not before that. So if you're not on Brahma Bhuta and they're revealing this, then you know there's some problem going on here. It's not according to our line. Maybe other lines may follow, but this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who has no problem talking about Sarup City. Right? Others generally avoid it. He has no problem talking about it, and he's made it very clear here, Brahma Bhuta. Like that. So it doesn't apply that it's lower than that. Right? That's the right. So subtle aspects of devotional service. Yeah. So that's okay. The Diksha Guru who reveals Sambandha Gyan to the disciple is said to be the representative of Adi Guru, Lord Balaram or Nityananda Prabhu. The Siksha Guru may be representative of either Balaram or Srimati Radharani. Right. So then Prabhupada has said that the spiritual masters come in these two categories. Right? They're either representing Balaram or they're representing Radharani. So the thing is here, he's saying that's the Diksha Guru, and then there's the Siksha Guru. Because Balaram is establishing one in the process. You know what I'm saying? It's Dharma. In other words, Balaram is who? Right? In the Chaturvyuha. Sankarshan. And what does Sankarshan do?
Establishes the field.
Yeah, establishes the field, establishes Dharma. What's right, removes what's wrong. Understand? So that's there. So now, depending upon what is your particular taste of service, then the Siksha aspect then may be in line with Balaram or in line with Srimati Radharani. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Doesn't? Why it doesn't make sense?
What's the difference between being in line? What's the difference in the
mood? Ah, that is coming up. This was for those who already are familiar with these topics. So that's the next sentence starts this. So it'll be. But what I'm trying to bring out here is the element that the Diksha Guru is the Siksha Guru. At the same time as they can be different people. Right? But the Diksha Guru is the Siksha Guru. Like that. Otherwise, there's sometimes confusion on this, and people, by using all these fancy words, Siksha and Diksha, try to take it off as something different. But the point is the Diksha Guru was the Siksha Guru before he became the Diksha Guru. But he was the prominent Siksha Guru, so he became, therefore, the Diksha Guru. And then the Siksha continues. It's not that once he becomes a Diksha Guru, he's no longer a Siksha Guru. He's added the Diksha to the Siksha, because the Siksha is actually the central point of initiation, the instruction. The point is, diksha means now you are serious about the instruction. You can take the instruction seriously. Right? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, before that, you may not. You're not obligated. You are still in the point of testing or understanding the spiritual masters there. It means basic etiquette is there, but there's no obligation. But once the diksha is there, you have to follow. It's not a matter of, you know, you don't like it. That's why you don't choose a guru picked on, you know, based on, oh, he smiles nicely or something. You know, does that make sense? That's not enough. Like that. Means it's the siksha, one is able to relate to the siksha, that works for you, that working for you, then that means that's the diksha guru. Right? If not, it's in support of that. One may have so many siksha gurus, and so they all add something very nice to your development of Krishna consciousness. Right? But the one who gives siksha, diksha is always the central of all the siksha, all the siksha gurus. Being one himself. Yes? No?
Yes.
Some question?
Yeah, just on the point of Brahma-Buddha, is that the same as when the disciples six-tenths purified?
No, that's called nishta.
Okay. So at what point does Brahma-Buddha kick
in? If you're taking purification, then that's basically, it would be up in your high 90s. You know, because what you're dealing with then is subtle. There's no material contamination, so you can even say it's 100%. You know, in other words, if you're dealing with that six tenths is in relationship to anartha nivritti, basically. So when anartha nivritti is six tenths, but now Rupa Goswami, then we see in Nectar Devotion that he's taking, means anartha nivritti is the stage in the process from Shraddha to Prema, right? But anartha nivritti is also a stage where you can take, where it is the gross things are out of the way, and so you're able to be steady in devotional service. That's the anartha nivritti in the process from Shraddha to Prema. But the anartha nivritti, meaning you're over conditional consciousness, now you can function in your constitutional consciousness. That's the one that's being talked about in relation to Raganuga Bhakti. That's when one can actually practice Raganuga. You know what I'm saying? Before that, it's an attitude. It's not a practice. Right? Someone practiced Raganuga Sadhana, right? In the conditioned state, what does his devotional service look like? It's same as Vaidhi. In other words, the form of it's Vaidhi Sadhana. But the mood may be Raganuga Sadhana. So it's the same. All that's changed is the mood. That's the subtle aspects of devotional service. Right? But now, on the Brahma-Bhuta platform, you actually have your spiritual body. So now you can follow in the footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan and do the services they do. So Rag Anuga, their Rag, you Anuga that. Does that make sense? You like those old, how you say, taxi horns and stuff? Does that make sense? I mean, a philosophical point. Maybe it was only American horns on American cars. Yes? No? So we can see the difference between the expression of anartha nivritti. Does that make sense? So one means one can take up the mood, but you can't actually practice it until Brahma-Bhuta, because you need a spiritual form to practice it. Does that make sense? But the mood of it, you can practice whenever it awakens. Does that make sense? So that's the whole idea. So this distinction is important. Otherwise, then some people will unnecessarily drive the practice down into even below anartha nivritti in the lower stage. below Nishta and claiming that that's Raganuga. But the point is, as a Prakriti Bhakta, then the tendency is one is too overwhelmed by one's material activities. And so the quality of it won't be very great. One may like to hear stories. Everyone likes to hear stories. Everyone likes to hear stories about Krishna and Vrindavan and Krishna and the gopis. So it's not that that makes you a Raganuga Bhakta. Everybody likes that. Right? So that's part of the process. Since we're trying to get to that platform of Braja Bhakti, therefore that mood is appreciated by anyone in that line anyway. But it's so small, you don't count it, you know. You know what I'm saying? The kid first got up, stood up for the first time, walked two steps, fell on his face, right? So that's potential. Now that kid, when he grows up, may be an Olympic athlete and, set a world record in running. But at that time, you can't go, that he's on that platform. Does that make sense? Okay. The sixth Saguru may represent either Balaram or Srimati Radharani. For devotees in conjugal rasa, the sixth Saguru is a representative of Srimati Radharani. For devotees in the other rasas, the sixth Saguru is the representative of Sri Baladev. See, the other rasas. Because the chit potency takes care of the Vatsalya, Shakya, and Dasya. Like that, they're expanded from there. And then the Sandini, then that expands the Shanta. That's also an aspect of that expands also from Balaram, because he establishes the field. So both of those. That's why in the Sambandha aspect you have both aspects, because you have the action, the activity itself, and you have the field. Right? So the interest in that and that. So then a specific detail of that then is the conjugal. So then that is taken by Srimati Radharani yourself. Does that make sense? So the sixth guru represents one or the other. So if you want to know which one your guru is, the point is what are you? So the point is until you're established nicely on these platforms, either the subtle aspects or on Brahma Bhuta, then don't worry about it. The point is it's in Vrindavan, so that's good enough. Does that make sense? Because it won't mean anything to you. You can't do anything with it. Okay. Initially, the relationship with the Diksha Guru is the most important. Later, the relationship with the Siksha Guru becomes prominent. It may be that the Diksha and Siksha Guru are the same person. Even if they are different persons, they are to be honored equally, being considered one, as they represent the one Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right? So this gets that balance there. Not that, okay, now I'm on this, so I don't deal with the other. So therefore, I signify I'm more advanced because I'm dealing with the spirit, with the Siksha Guru, and I'm not dealing with the Diksha Guru. And, this is all, mundane concepts. They're non-different. So dealing with the Diksha Guru, he's saying it may be the same person. So that means you're dealing with the Diksha aspect, establishment and devotional service, getting your sadhana and everything proper, learning the deity worship, understanding the fundamental philosophy and all these things. That's all the aspects of the Diksha Guru. He does all that. Siksha Guru then takes you to the subtler aspects of that. Brings it to a higher realm and then reveals your position in the spiritual world. It's the same person. He has these two aspects, or it may be two people. So whether it's two or one, they're supposed to be respected equally. Right? Because they're both representing the Supreme Lord. So Krishna then is being represented here. And Krishna expands as Balaram and Srimati Radharani. So between the three of them, they take care of everything. Does that make sense? Krishna is existence. So then from this existence, then you have the activity and goal. So Balaram and Srimati Radharani. Does that make sense? Yes.
Their guru revealing the Swarup Siddhi means is giving you a service there, or you already there, is telling you are there, so what does that mean?
What does that mean?
revealing, what does
that? Revealing means, how you say? It's like the, you know, how you say, father revealing to the son that he's going to be, you know, the head of this country. I mean, this company or stuff like that. You know, like when the father and son stand on the hill, right, and the father puts his arm around the shoulder of the son and says, son, in the future, all this will be yours. So that principle has been reflected like this. But so the point is that it says directly or indirectly, so it's not something you have to worry about. It's something you know will happen. You know what I'm saying? So it happens. So you get to that stage, it will be understood. Before that stage, it won't make sense anyway. Right? Because you'll be trying to fit it all into time and space. You know, like that. And, you know, so do I have to work it into my day planner? You know, what day, what time of the day is it going to be revealed? I wouldn't want anything to be, I wouldn't have anyone to have any, you know, conflicting engagements at that time, you know, so. You know, so. When you hear stuff like that, then the person responds as the Diksha Guru. That's the point. Makes sense? Okay. It is essential that this Sambandha Abhideya and Prayojana Gyan is received from an authentic spiritual master in Parampara. Otherwise, one will not properly understand the meaning of the Vedic teachings and will not achieve the teachings' highest benefit. For example, one may think that he is a Vaishnav engaged in performing bhakti, but he has a mistaken idea of Sambandha Gyan and thinks that the Jiva and Krishna are one. Then he may mistakenly think that prema, the prayojana of bhakti, means to merge with Krishna like Radha. Thus he will enjoy the sadhana of hearing and chanting Krishna's glories, but the offensive mentality of thinking that he is a gopi, or even Sri Radha herself. There are many such persons living in Vrindavan and Radhakund with this mentality. Such offensive rascals will not achieve any benefit from this mistaken understanding of Shastra, but will be punished to suffer in hell for a very long time. As Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur Prabhupada said to Srila Prabhupada that these people are not living in Radhakund, they are living in Narakakund. Srimad Bhagavatam, class 6, 6, 3, 20 through 23, Gorakhpur, February 14, 1971. As another example, is one may again have mistaken idea of Sambandha Gyan, thinking that the Jiva is Bhagavan, and thus believe that the prayojan or perfection of existence is Sayuja Mukti, or merging with Brahman. Thus you will perform the sadhana or renunciation, possibly yoga, to achieve this end and avoid hearing and chanting about Krishna altogether. Conclusion. Thus, in order to receive a bona fide or pure Vastutraya of the Veda, as revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has to receive spiritual initiation from the Guru, who is connected to a disciple, disciplic succession coming down from the Adi Guru, Sri Krishna, who is the original author of the Vedic literatures. Okay. So then we'll continue with the Gayatri Mantras. In the process of worship. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.